wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, May 20th, 2023. And foggy day this morning, a little misty and foggy here at the Radio Ranch, but it's springtime and we are sure thankful for that. And we've got a full crew for you this morning. We'll bring everybody on. And Josh, way down south, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Zach, up there in Michigan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, thank you also for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, from sea to shining sea, we say good morning to you. We thank you for joining us. Hope you have your coffee. I got a good mug, a insulated mug of hot coffee here, and my Bible open. I hope that's how you have it. And we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. But we open up in prayer first. We hope that you do that, Remnant, that you open up your day, your events, the things that you do throughout your day and throughout your life, that you open them up in prayer. And Josh, I'm going to ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, purify us, perfect us. Lord, we pray that you grant us all the blessings of that blood that was shed for us, Lord, to cleanse us, to purify us, perfect us, Lord, to protect us. And pray that you'd grant us that, Lord. Pray that you'd help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, to be those watchmen and those protectors, Lord. For your sheep, pray that you'd use us, Lord. Help us to be teachable, Lord, and be able to see those blessings that are in front of us, Lord, and take advantage of them and claim them, Lord, in your name. Pray for your blessings upon this broadcast, Lord, and that it steel would sharpen steel, Lord, and we'd be better for conversation after the fact. But to Paul's prayers in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, Remnant, it's a live program this morning. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And Josh, it's interesting. You mentioned in your prayer to help us be teachable. And I think that's one of the characteristics of a true follower of Jesus Christ. A true Christian is that they are teachable. There's things that they understand, but they understand that there's always more. There's always more to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." And I think that's, you know, one of the I won't say contentions, but one of the I think the main points of seeing what's going on today in the current events and realizing where they fit in, not necessarily in Bible prophecy, but in the Bible story, that the natural man and the natural woman out there, that many are unnatural today, both men and women, they just don't understand it. They just don't see it at all. And I think it comes back to being not teachable. They get to a point, I think so many get to a point that they think they have it figured out, and then that's it. They almost shut down in their learning or even searching. Does that seem to make sense?
Well, there's got to be an element of humility. You know, you got to be able to accept the fact and want to make it better. The fact that you do not know everything. You know, you don't have all the answers, and you got to put yourself in a position, you know, a lower position to be able to receive and get better. And it's look at it kind of as a ratcheting scale. You know, if you're humble and realize that you are lower, then you can learn and come back higher. And I pick Mr. Paul always say that I feel like the more that I learn, the less I know. And it's all about coming from the correct perspective to be able to receive.
Amen.
Well, first, that had a huge impact on me that I read it, and I just said, it says, rely not on your own understanding. That means the truth is outside of my head. That was just a huge, when I grasped it, it was just huge to me. And I think it's pivotal to what we're talking about here. And then when you're baptized, you receive a gift of the Holy Spirit, you can start seeing those things that God has to say. And then until that time, you know, I was looking, but I don't think you really get it until you get that gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism, and which is humility, unteachable.
And you got to be careful and take... Go ahead, bud.
You also have to realize that, you know, what's going on between your ears, you don't really know everything. You know, maybe you were taught certain things wrong. And then when I got onto this path and on this ministry, one of the biggest things that I understood was I didn't know. I didn't understand it because I had Paul over there telling me one thing, and he was quoting the Bible. And then I had my preacher over there saying other stuff. And then, so I basically had to take the two different parties. I threw both of them out of my head and started studying. And then I realized who was more accurate. But the thing was, I had to come to the conclusion, I did not know. I did not know. And I had to find out, which required studying. So like yesterday, I was telling one of my business partners, the biggest lesson that I've learned from being on this venture that we're on together is, and these, and my two business partners, they're in their mid-20s. The one's 23, the other one's 26. So I remember how I was when I was 23 and 26. I wasn't anything like them the way they are. They got a different mindset. But, you know, I can go in there because I got more laps around the sun. I got more experience in tree work, and I know this, and I know that, and, you know, but I realize I have to listen to what they're saying because they're my equal partners. And I have to value the other person's opinion. And you know what? Sometimes because of their upbringing and depending on what the topic is, they actually do know better than me. So I have to understand these guys can actually teach me things as well. So you got to keep an open mind. And as long as it's in the box that God puts us in, that's okay. So you have to value other people's opinion because they'll teach you something. An old boy on the ministry, he's not with us anymore. He told me, everybody will tell you the truth how to get to where they are. And you just have to decide whether you want to be like that person. If you want to be like that person, then take their advice. If you don't, then do not.
That's good advice.
Well, to your point of the, you know, the guys that don't have the experience, the relative experience like you, you also got to recognize that your experience is just that. And you may have been within a certain set of parameters that you gained that experience, and you may be jaded to, you know, particular opinion, whereas if they're coming at it from a fresh point of view, they might see something completely different that's 100 times better than what you've always done. And as you were talking, it made me think about how Pastor Peters used to say, it's not what you don't know, but it's what you know that isn't so. It is so hard to unlearn a lot of the programming that we have received throughout our lives, and sometimes in just dealing with our children, somebody that, you know, hadn't been here that long and doesn't have that much experience, but they've got just a different perspective of, for most of the time, an innocent, pure perspective. They can, if you will receive it, they can sometimes completely change the way that you look at something, but it's because you've got a learned behavior. You know, whereas they don't have that skew.
I think what's important is, and this translates whether you're doing a business or whether you're trying to usher in the kingdom of heaven. If you all have the same goal, then, you know, you can work together, and that's where the listening comes in. Because 80% of the time, if I'm on the job, I can do it faster and with less effort because my experience allows me to do it that way, just because I know. But I'll tell you what, 20% of the time, them two guys will tag me, you know. But we all understand we're trying to reach the same goal, which is to win, and that's financially, you know. But, I mean, I have to give them credit where credit's due because I don't want to break their spirit. I don't want them to... I mean, I don't want to beat them over the head with a baseball bat with my tongue, you know. So, like, you know, you got to give them victories. And a lot of times they legitimately win. When it comes to, like, doing email and Google stuff and all this stuff, I mean, these guys crush me, you know. And I got to let them do it. And, you know, so, I mean, and in time, like, you know, I was telling them, you know, you guys know tree work. That and you're performing at a level that I was performing at when I was 38, 39, and 40 years old. You have no idea the advance that you have because of my training, and that the advance that I have because of their training, you know, I mean, they complement each other.
It's comfortable to be around a group of people that are just like you, but it's not necessarily the best thing for you. You know, a whole baseball team of pitchers probably wouldn't be that successful. And that's how the body of Christ works. You know, you got these different people with different gifts, and they may see things different. They might say stuff you don't like or talk in a way that you don't care for. But what you're saying, you got to see that value in what they see and where they're at and be teachable and see things from a different perspective, because it'll grow you as a as a Christian, as a person.
And it makes the whole team stronger, in which that's actually the goal. You want to make the entire team stronger so that way they can function as one. And that's a biblical principle. We are the body of Christ. We are the actual flesh and blood body of Jesus Christ that's walking around on this earth. And we need to learn those principles in order to become winners. And if we don't learn these principles, then we will not be winners. We will be losers. It's that simple.
Agreed. Agreed. And right here in 1 Corinthians 2, I think Paul had that. I think that's the same attitude that Paul had. You know, he says here in 1 Corinthians 2, 2, he says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, you know, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. He said, hey, when I came to you, it was just, listen, I know Jesus, and that's it. Christ crucified. And you know, he humbled himself. He talks about being with him in weakness and fear, and he humbled himself. He didn't come in saying, hey, let me tell you all about this here. And that is, that's, I think that's that attitude you're talking about, Zach, you know, is you know, you can learn from just about anybody. We talked to the children and taught them that everybody can be a good example. Sometimes they're a good example of a good example. Sometimes they're a good example of a bad example. And you just have to, you know, decide and determine, like was said, you know, hey, how do you want, you know, you see how someone is and you know, when you learn how they got there, you know, you might decide, yes, I desire that. That is a good thing. And then you can, you know, you can implement some of what they've done. Or if you see that, you know, they're not, things have not turned out well. Well, that's a good example of a bad example. If you do these same things, you see how you'll end up. And so, yeah, we can learn from anyone if they're, like you said, Josh, if we have, if we're teachable, if we have that humility of spirit. But that's just the opposite of how so many in the world are today, not just the ungodly, you know, is that pride. That pride, oh, I know that. I know about that. I know about that. And that that can get in the way. And it does many times.
That's my specialty, is showing people what not to do.
I got a few of those instances myself.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the Old Testament is so valuable, because, you know, it gives you an example. You can read the example of the, you know, everything. For every action, there's a reaction. So, like, every action that you do, there's going to be an effect, whether it's on a personal level or it's on a national level. I mean, or in between there somewhere, you know. So
yes.
It tells you, like, okay, well, this is what Samson did, okay? And this is how he ended up, you know? And, you know, and people can argue certain, you know, angles, and I'm not disagreeing with it, but you can't argue with the fact that he got his eyes poked out and he had to push down the Baal temple on the Philistines, because there were certain actions that he did and things that he did that caused him to be in that situation. He didn't keep his mouth shut in front of the lady when he should have, because he was a Nazarene. And, you know, but there's just something about women. You're going to tell somebody something, and, you know, and that's the effect. So, you know, don't throw the pearls to the swine. Don't do it. You know, there's some people that just, it's just like, don't argue with the Judeo preacher. He's a Judeo Edomite preacher. He's in his spot. He's doing what he's supposed to do.
That's right.
Simple.
And he's either that dirty bird in the pulpit, or, like you mentioned, Josh, it's hard to unlearn your programming. And, you know, Pastor used to teach on that the hardest people to introduce new truth to were these Judeo-Christians whether it's their pastors or those that are, you know, pewing in the pulpits, that that just think, you know, that they got it all figured out. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through, and they just never miss rapture practice on Tuesday night, and that's it. But you're absolutely right, Zach. Some of them just have their that's their place. That's their place, you know, that they are either they, you know, are their job is to blind and to lead astray, or they are blind and leading astray. And, you know, the Bible talks about that, that the blind guides, you know, that that when the blind leads the blind, they both fall in the pit. And that's just unfortunately how so many are. And it, I tell you, it's come up in my conversations lately, the last several weeks, that they're tares. I go back to the parable of the tares and the wheat, and that they're tares. They look like the wheat, and they sound like the wheat, but they're tares. And most of them want you to know that anymore. You know, they stand up in agreement with other tares. When you read the parable of the tares and the wheat there in, Matthew 13, that they, I think it tells us that the time of harvest approaches, because they are standing up, and separating themselves. It's not the wheat that are saying, hey, separate from us. It's the tares that by their actions are, defying the word of God. There was a headline. Some church had a family-friendly drag night. Family-friendly drag night. Now, if that's not double-mindedness, and I don't know what is. I mean, it's just... It's more of the insanity of the day, but it's, you know, you'll know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:16. That's the words of Jesus Christ. You will know them by their fruits, what they do. And if you got a church that's promoting a family friendly drag night, that's not a biblical church. It's just as simple as that.
Not promoting it, but tolerating it.
Yes.
You know, the church, well, that's their opinion. You know, no tolerate. You don't tolerate it. Then, you know, that's just as bad as promoting it.
It absolutely is, especially if you read, I think it's Romans, right? Romans chapter 1. It talks about slanderers, haters of God, inventors of evil, arrogant, insolent, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. This is New Testament, folks. Paul writing in Romans. Such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Hearty approval to those who practice them. And, Budweiser's finding out that you know, not everybody's woke in their sense. And and places like, you know, other places are finding that out, you know. I mentioned the other night, Target. I got a neighbor. She's got a little boy. Her and her husband have actually two little boys, and went to Target to try to find some, you know, clothes. The boys are growing. Everything in the children's department was gender neutral, is what they said. She was livid. She was madder than a wet hen. And I told her, I said, well, just, you know, don't go to Target anymore. And there's other places. But it is, you know, whether it's Jack Daniels or Sports Illustrated. Guys, did you get your bikini edition of Sports Illustrated? They got some man dressed up, some male anyway, dressed up. It's ridiculous. Even the Archie comics. Now, I haven't seen a comic book in I don't know how long. When I was growing up in the late 70s, comic books were kind of a thing. And even Archie comics, right? Jughead and Veronica and all that, they got a little some trans something in there because that's what they do. They don't reproduce, so they have to recruit. That really makes them mad when you... That sets them off when you let them know that. But that's what they've done. These tares have just... They want to be counted among the tares. Anyway, buy their fruits, folks. Buy their fruits, what they do. I was hoping, I had texted Tim, I was hoping Tim in Nebraska could join us this morning, but he had some other stuff going on. I was hoping to talk to him about it, maybe we can next week, but Nebraska passed a couple of bills, and it looks like the governor's gonna sign them, you know, into whatever they have there, laws, regulations, we understand about law, but basically bans abortion after 12 weeks, and restricts any type of gender transition for anyone under 19. And the protesters to this all but rioted at the state capitol when this was voted on. Several arrests, had to shut it down. When they opened it back up, they were protesting and violent protesting, attacking police officers and things like that right in the Nebraska state capitol. Anyway, I thought that was interesting that, you know, right here, even in the heartland, see those tares, those that, again, they're either blinded, they're either that natural man that don't understand what this is, or they are just children of the devil doing what they're supposed to do.
They might have been bussed in from Seattle.
Oh, they sure have. They sure might have.
From wherever.
Yep. And it just, it's a minority of a minority of a minority, but, you know, they're fighting, they're protesting, they're, you know, they're making their desires known, but hats off to Nebraska, at least this far, at least getting this passed, and my understanding is that abortion bill, you know, was modified. It originally had come out as just an outright ban, but, you know, through committee and to get it passed, that's what they said. Any abortion after 12 weeks, no abortion after 12 weeks, and no gender transition under 19. And, the enemy just rages. They howl and rage and scream at that type of stuff. But that's okay. There's some people that are standing up, at least for that are standing up and fighting back and saying no. But that's you know, not in my state. You're not going to do that here.
I guess my go ahead, Uncle Paul.
Well, that bill is a bit of a compromise because it says thou shalt not kill. Let's go back to the origin, you know.
Yes.
12 weeks is a bit of a compromise.
It is.
You know, and I used to work for some of them queers. There was a down southwest of my house, you know, about 30, 40 miles. There was just a huge concentration of queers. And I used to work for them in the tree work some, and they were very militant people. And one of the reasons they're militant is because they're defying God. You know, they're just flat out against God. And that's the root of this thing, and there's defiance of the truth is what it amounts to, and they want it. So it don't surprise me. They're very militant people.
Yes.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I seen some BLM guys. I was working on a tree job, and there when COVID was in full swing, and Seattle, they have that block that was taken down, and they're tearing up the city. I think Grand Rapids even got hit here in Michigan. And but like you can see them, like they had signs in their front yard, BLM, and there's this one sign here: this household believes in science and equality for everybody. All that other garbage. Anyway, Well, we were out there doing a tree job across the street, and those dudes were out there, and you could tell, you know, they weren't, they just, you could tell by the way they dressed that they weren't my kind of people that I would hang out with. And they were out there lifting weights, and they were training. They were actually out there training to, like, get stronger. They had, like, those military weights that, like, they're like a vest. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen them before, and I don't really know how else to describe them. But they were out there for, like, 3 hours just training, running in place, dragging tires, doing the rope thing, you know. And it's like, what, you know, and that was at the time when they were tearing up the city. And, you know, it's like, why would you, like, I just don't understand why you'd tear the place up. And, you know, like, but they're out there making a statement is what they were doing. And, you know, they have a very sneaky way of fighting. And guys like us, we don't know how to, I don't think we really know how to fight back in that kind of, we just don't operate that way. It's not in our mentality, you know? So, I mean, we do have a formidable adversary. What it boils down to is the word of God is our sword, and we have to educate people on what it says. And if, like, that literally is the only way that we can win this fight. And it goes right back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, if we as a body aren't functioning properly as a body, then we're not going to win. We're going to go deeper down the hole. So when we read that, when we read that scripture, you know, when your obedience is complete, you know, we all know it, you know, well, how do we do that? We have to get the body functioning properly and just keep speaking truth. And sooner, and people are starting to recognize that things aren't right. I think I said this in one of the lessons, or the last time I was on Coffee, I was talking with this guy, and he was talking about how the Chinese were buying up the land, and they've been doing it since the 80s.
Yes.
And my response to him was, well, they got 40 years on us. You know, we've been sleeping for 40 years and letting this go on. You know, what's been going on that people aren't paying attention? They've been selling out. They value the dollar sign versus the actual property. You know, this is all self-inflicted. This is all values, like, being misplaced. All this stuff is. You know, and it goes back to the religion that is being broadcasted across this land. If you're a Christian, there's no law. We have to accept every single Muslim and Buddhist and Hindu if they come in here. Well, that's not what the law of God says. If you come here, you play by our rules, you adapt to our culture. And we've let that go away. And it's a big mess. And, you know, we have to get our culture back. We have to know our history. If we don't, it's gone. It is completely gone. So it's a task. And, you know, it's up to us. It's up to us men that are in the know to stop being cowards. And there's a lot of ways you can fight. Look at how these other people fight. Adapt your tactics, you know. Be careful where you spend your money. Those guys that went to Target to get their boys some clothes, don't spend money there.
That's right.
Just fight with your energy. Think of everything that you do as an act of war. Whether it's a garden, not buying money, not buying clothes at Target, whatever it may be. And you can win, because that's what they're doing to us.
Well, and that's like a task-based perspective of, you know, one thing, you know, you do this and you do this, and that scripture, when your obedience is complete, to me, is twisted the same way as the, you know, casting of the stone. It's the same kind of contortion. It's not saying that you've got to be completely obedient in every moment of your life, because we know that's something that's going to be really hard to do. But our obedience can be complete in a situation.
Yes.
In the same way that Samson had made many mistakes, but when he got there to the end, and in that moment and in that task, he was victorious because his obedience was complete, and he and God still used him, even after all the other mistakes and where he was not completely obedient. But his obedience was complete in what he was doing, and so therefore God was still able to use him. And that's a neutralizing thought process to me of, you know, well, you got to be completely perfect for God to be able to use you. You know, you got to do what God tells you to do. And you got to first seek his will, which is in that prayer, you know, starting out the day and in the week or even the task, and prayer, which is that praying without ceasing. You got to know where to go, you know, having that prayer, knowing the word and hearing from him and being obedient when he tells you something. We don't know. Well, I do know you, group, and we tend to be stiff-necked people. You know, it's just our tendencies. We're men, and that's what you get. But whenever you hear from God and it's clear what he wants you to do, you need to do it. And then when you do it, then your obedience is complete, and you're going to be victorious. His word says so. We got his promise.
That's right. That's right. I again, here in this Romans 1:28, real quick, and I'll give it to you, Zach. You know, Romans 1:28 says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind." So guess what? Continue to acknowledge God. Continue to acknowledge him. Just like, you know, Jonah came around and acknowledged him. And King David acknowledged him. Wasn't perfect, but he was humble and teachable, and he accepted his faults, and he repented, and he was still used of God. And I think that was the thoughts that came to me on that, was because that's what we do. We acknowledge God in all things. We know that he works all things for good for those that love him. We believe his word. And I like how you put that, Zach, that the word is our sword. That is our weapon. That is our weapon. And it's unbeatable. It is. Zach?
Well, let me adjust just a little bit on what I was saying. Is me personally, like, I want to know if somebody is loyal. And what I mean by that is, where is their heart? Now, do I think that you're going to completely, you know, ban a certain store? I mean, you know, I got my phone service is Verizon, you know, but on the other hand, you know, when I go out, I'm going to choose somebody else to buy from because I know that owner. I know that person. I want the economy left in my community. That is me showing loyalty and my love for my neighbor. And if you don't have that your neighbor first versus a Tractor Supply mentality, I kind of have an issue with that. So, like, I'm loyal. Loyalty is a huge issue. So I guess when I say you're a bit, like, who do you think is more important in everything that you do? Well, that's obviously we have to do it God's way. And that is, you know, that should be done first. And if it's not possible in that little section or that little scenario, what I mean by like buying, I'm not saying, you know, I know I'm being broad, but it's your loyalty. It's your loyalty. And there's guys that I don't know what I wouldn't agree to do with in a work zone. There's probably guys on the ministry that I wouldn't do any of that with just because I know what kind of character those guys are on a hardworking level when you're doing like 300 yards of concrete. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with those guys because I know how those dudes roll and we've got a history together. I don't know if any of that makes any sense, but I mean, that's just That's just my view. Like, it's, you have to be loyal. And that's what it comes down to. Who do you answer to? And that's what it is.
Yeah, I think it reflects back, you know, by their fruits. You know them. By their fruits. If you've, like you said, if you've got history with people and you've worked with them and you know how they work or you know how they don't work, you know, it's by their fruits. By their fruits, you know them. Guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, morning, brothers. This is Patrick up in Minnesota. I hate to even interrupt. This is an awesome program today. You know, kind of go on what Zach was saying. You know, even on my job, this is my, you know, we get certain jobs in our shop. You know, we work in the oil refinery business, sort of. You know, we build reactors and things. You know, in certain jobs, you know, you don't put certain people on certain jobs. You pick. If it's a kind of a difficult job, so you know who to go to, you know, to put on these jobs and, you know, get them out the door. I had Tim from Nebraska is not on today, and you had mentioned about that abortion bill down in Nebraska. You know, up here in Minnesota, it's such a contrast what's going up in here. You know, not only that, you know, we pass an abortion bill that allows abortion up to the day of 9 months or the day of birth. You know, now they're going to pass a law. It's in the works that it's going to be 2 days after the birth of a child that they can be aborted. So yeah, I mean. It's crazy. You know, these people are demonic. They're evil. You know, and that, you know, it seems like there's no stopping them. But again, like, you know, I have mentioned before, you know, it's a separation from of the sheep from the goats. And they're just their tares, their heads are standing straight up in the wheat. And a lot of people got to just remember that. And it's easy to... It's easy to lose faith, you know, to get down and things like that. We've said it, you know, many times before on this ministry that, you know, we're not going to save this nation with a vote. You know, God, it's going to be God save America again and again.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Patrick. Good to hear from you, buddy. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. You guys have a good rest of your weekend.
You too, Patrick. God bless. Yeah, amen. That distinction is being made. It just is. Go ahead, Josh.
And so we do know that the lesser of two evils is still evil. In these situations, you know, they're passing this bill up to 12 weeks or whatever it is. And if the current standard is 36 weeks and they go drop it back to 12, you know, in which scenario will more babies die? You know, so it, yes. But the thing is you got to remember the fact that it is all wrong. And we got to continue to be true to ourselves and what we believe that in saying that it's all wrong. It should not be, it should be 0 weeks. But as long as we know that it's not right and we say that it's right, it is still, there will be fewer babies that die if it's legal at 12 weeks and at 36 weeks. And that is a step in the correct direction. If we can go down to 11 or 6 next time, it'll still be even better. But we just got to know that their law is not what's governing this. We've got God's law on this, and all of it is completely out of order and inexcusable.
It is. I saw a headline. I'm not sure which one it was. It was either Kansas or Kentucky. I'm not sure. That they outlawed abortion, just no abortion. And it's been, I don't know, a couple months maybe, and they said that basically that's it. There have been no abortions in the state that have been reported anyway. You know, you can't do anything about back alley stuff or people leaving somewhere else, but at least in their state, it virtually was non-existent. And like you said, that's moving in the right direction. It is. It's so foreign to so many people today. But it goes back to that. It's hard to unlearn their programming. And that's, I think, where our job comes in, is to use that word, that sword, our weapon, and do our best to unprogram these people, point them back to the word, and say, hey, any time abortion is murder. It's just that way.
Zach, our defense, and often, is we don't have to participate in it. They can make laws that ruin the face, but it's not God's law. You have that child and cherish it. You know, you can watch people do the foolish things, you know, abort a kid up to 2 years, you know, that's murder. It's murder at conception, but we don't have to participate in it. And that's our defense and offense. We don't have to participate in it because they can make laws that are blue in the face, and they really are not binding.
Yep.
Yes.
What if there was a law passed, if a guy gets a girl pregnant, then he's responsible for her, and he has to take care of that child?
Yeah, there you go.
Is there any laws like that?
There you go.
Is there any laws like that?
Well, there used to be a thing called marriage that was one of the foundations of this nation, and one of the foundations of Christianity was a marriage between one man and one woman for life, till death do us part. And you know, it might not have been a law, you know, in all the states' constitutions or as fundamental rights or whatever as laws, but that was the understanding, right? That was how our society was. That was how our republic was. And there was an understanding of responsibility there. And that's just thrown out the window anymore. It's, again, the programming, the enemy has bettered us at programming these last few generations. That just go out and have all the sex you want with whoever you want, and if you get pregnant, have an abortion, and don't worry about it. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, and just go, go, go. Do whatever feels good, do it. And that's how these generations have been programmed. I remember Pastor, it had to be 18 years ago, Pastor was talking to a young man. And he had to, you know, he was telling him about sin and this. And the guy said, what is sin? You know, he didn't know. Webster's took it out of the dictionary, I think, in 2014. It's insanity today. It just absolutely is. But these generations have been programmed, and it's not in a godly way.
There used to be shotgun weddings. If you got her pregnant, you owned her, you know, and I actually seen one of those once. That was a long time ago, but that talks about responsibility, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you get her pregnant, you own her. So... Yep. That's how it should operate. But everything we're talking about is frivolous and after the fact. And, you know, we got to go back to basics. You know, it's about responsibility. You got to take responsibility for your actions. You go back to the Garden of Eden. Eve blamed Satan. Adam blamed Eve. And it's just been going downhill ever since. You take responsibility for your actions. Say, yeah, guilty as charged. You know, when you go to the throne of God, you say, I have no defense except for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why, you know, somebody that's an advocate of abortion, you know, my thing is, okay, well, you partake in it first, and then you can support it. So, in other words, once you're murdered, then you can support it.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted to have been aborted and therefore never have had the chance to live. You know, the people that are advocating it, they did not partake of it themselves, but they want to be able to do it to somebody else.
Yeah, it's insanity.
Yeah, they weren't the target, were they?
That's right. Guys, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, you guys are talking about, you know, if you get a girl pregnant, you ought to marry them. My dad taught us that. But, you know, I believe there is a law in the Bible on that. You know, when the Bible says it's better to marry than to burn, I believe that's referring to if you get some woman pregnant. And when I was in school, if the girls got pregnant, they were looked down at. They weren't even allowed to finish their, you know, their school, like high school. Nowadays they can. My dad taught the girls, too, my sisters, that, you know, that baby comes into you easier and it comes out. You know, and be careful, too, not to get pregnant.
Thanks, Warren. Absolutely.
I mean, I can't think of where it is, but I do believe that's a law on that. Well, God bless you guys.
Yep. It is the law.
All right, Warren. Thank you, brother. God bless.
You know, it's like what Paul said, Uncle Paul said there. You know, it's about taking responsibility for
yes.
your actions.
Yes.
And, you know, like I tell that to my son, like, you know, because he always asks me, you know, how I did stuff when I was his age and when I was in my 20s. And I'm like, but, like, you don't want to live the most difficult, idiotic way that you can possibly think of in following my footsteps. Learn from where I'm at right now. And I'm like, the best thing that you can do is take responsibility for your actions, because the only thing I can really give you is my last name. And don't screw it up, because we got a good reputation and you can screw it up in an instant. Take responsibility for your actions. Be upright, be honest, and be fair. And if you throw a grounder, you got to say you threw a grounder. You have to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm in the service industry. I sell labor. Okay, that's really all I do. Like, I was telling this lady the other day, I gave her a price on a tree removal, and I go, I know I'm taking all your stuff away. You get nothing. You get nothing. I'm taking all your stuff away. And I'm like, I forget where I was going with this, but, you know, take responsibility for your actions. And, you know, that's what all of this is about. And
every single time,
our seller. Like, and we had a top get away from us, and it dinged her fence. And I went to the fence company and I bought a new fence. And how you handle a mistake is just as good advertising as if you did it perfectly. I came out a winner in either scenario.
Sure.
That's the point.
And you can't move off of that. You know, you got to do the right thing every time, because people are watching us. That's what that light into a dark world, they're watching us. And when we make mistakes, whether or not we're owning up to those mistakes, whether or not we handle them in a manner that a Christian should, because we are human. Things are going to happen. You know, we put in place mm-hmm. the best practices and whatever. We've got experience. We do the best we can, but there's still going to be mistakes that happen. And how you deal with that, and if you ever shuck that responsibility and try to go the easy route, more than likely it's going to blow up in your face.
Yeah, I was we had a tree service too, which Zach's dad and I and all Will worked together, but I was the bitch boy, and if something went wrong, and I learned through time, you don't argue with a person, you just sit there and let someone unload. And then you say, well, what do we got to do to make this right? And every time you did that, you got off way better than you thought you would, because you took responsibility for yourself. People understand mistakes. They really do. And if you admit to it and fix it, you'll do a whole lot better. And like you said, it's better advertising than a good job.
100%.
Amen.
And so the compliment of that, whenever a mistake happens, it's my fault. And whenever something good happens, it's your guy's fault or whatever. And I think about that as far as, you know, boasting in Christ. When somebody says, oh, that sure is a nice house you got or whatever, you know, and, well, I'm thankful that God allowed me to be able to work hard and get that house. But it's just, it is a blessing that God gave me. And to me, that's what, you know, boasting in Christ is. It's not beating on my chest. Heck yeah, I worked my butt off to get that. You know, right. I'm worth it. I'm a great guy. There's a difference.
Yep, it is. Just like there, Paul said in Romans, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God, right, in all things. Because he is, he's worthy of praise. It is his blessings that you know, are the reasons we have these things. And there's so many today that are just programmed against that. Josh, I just keep coming back to that. I wrote that down, hard to unlearn programming. And that's, you know, that's, we have to realize that's why so many of our people are blinded, right? They just are. Jesus talked about that a lot, you know, the blind guides, those that have eyes but don't see, ears that don't hear. And it does, and they walk around like they're blind. And it's, you know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's how so many of our people have been, they have believed the lies. And as Carl Klang sings, they're blinded by the lies, because that's how they've been programmed. Our enemy has done a good job of it. But the enemy hasn't won.
The flip side of that mentality is you throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to, so, you know what I mean? You go too far.
Right.
Because when, you know, when you reject everything that you've been told, and then you got to throw the baby out with the bathwater back and put it back together. So that's happened to me. So anyway.
Well.
You know, another thing, too, you know, we got all these small businesses that get gobbled up by the corporations, and they're just consuming it, you know. So buy local, support the guy. You know, sometimes we get stuck with the big box stores, but all the profit goes to corporate headquarters. It goes out of the community, where if you did put your money in the community with your fellow man, which is getting harder to do, and take a, it just presses me. I see all these good, profitable small businesses be sold out, you know, for money. They destroy their children's inheritance. It's just a dead end street. We got farms all around here that have been sold out to big farms because they didn't rest the land, so they were driven from the land. All the big buyers that bought this land are going to get driven from it too. The last chapter of Second Chronicles tells you the land will get its Sabbath, and that's a fact of life. So what we see going on today is not done yet. So,
amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to finish with just a couple verses here in 2 Peter 1. He says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's what you men have been talking about, not relying on your own understanding and having the same goals and being humble and teachable and putting others before self. And I'm what a great broadcast, guys. Thanks so much. We sure appreciate it. And hope you guys have a blessed day and a blessed weekend. And Remnant, we ask you to join us at church tomorrow. We'll fire it up about 8:30 in the morning, the good Lord willing, at scriptures4america.org. We'll have a scriptural review. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth, a new message for you as well.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.